Chapter 15. Family ties about a season past. Brooke re-entered the Light Shard many times and had successfully obtained a Godhead. She helped escort Mako citizens into the Shard during the slow times of her leadership. Muiku and Emma still had a little more to go before they obtained Godhood. Prior to getting her Godhead, Brooke struggled each time she left to reorientate with the fact that she was a Mako citizen, and not the citizen of the many worlds and lives she was a part of. Ventusir began to notice that if someone became too attached to the people inside of the Light Shard, a small problem might arise. Which with Platinum was the case. Platinum returned from the Light Shard. "Where am I?" Platinum called out after reforming. "What happened to my family?"
Platinum called out.
"Calm down, Platinum. You experienced a life in the Light Shard and returned to being yourself."
Diamanda said to Platinum.
"Return to being myself?" Platinum said somberly. "No, this isn't me. I am Thomas Rivers, and my wife is Susan Rivers. I am the father of Thomas Rivers Jr., a graduate from the top university in the nation, and Patricia Rivers, a Nobel Prize nominee.
My family, they were around me with my grandchildren on my deathbed."
"Where are they?" Platinum asked.
"Platinum, that was simply you inside the Light Shard."
"You went in to make progress towards a Godhead?" Diamanda tried to explain.
"I need to go back in. I need to be with my family." Platinum said, walking towards the Light Shard.
"They are long gone by now," Axel said, looking over the data. Platinum looked over at Axel. "What happened to them?"
Platinum said with a bit of despair. "Nothing in particular. Many years in their time would have passed since you came out here.
They all would have died of old age," Axel said as a matter of fact.
"But someone with a Godhead would be able to return time to when my family was alive and I could be with them again." Platinum inquired to Axel.
"That is true, but you wouldn't know they were your previous family since you would not even know that you were you before."
Axel informed Platinum. "I don't care, just let me back inside." Platinum said to Axel. "Watch your mouth. You don't speak to Master Axel like that."
Alpha said to Platinum.
"It's fine, Platinum is still confused." Platinum did just live nearly four of their current lifetime within the Light Shard.
"It's understandable that they would feel more like being inside the Shard than out," Axel explained.
"Have one of the Godhead owners let me back in, I beg of you."
Platinum pleaded to Axel. "I need to be with my family again." "Platinum, calm down. That reality is not your home. You are Ren now. Have more control,"
Diamanda said to Platinum.
Platinum stormed out of the lab. Platinum seemed really messed up.
Alpha said to the scientist of Spark. "It's quite the unavoidable side effect. If the participants of receiving a Godhead live a happy, peaceful life, then their attachment to that life would be quite strong.
It's likely best if we begin making all lives within the Light Shard miserable," Axel suggested. Platinum transported to SARU to meet up with Brooke.
"You are not a usual visitor. What is the nature of your business?" The spear said to Platinum.
"I need to see Brooke," Platinum responded.
"I'm sorry, but you did not just waltz in here and demand an audience.
You have to go through the proper channels,"
the spear said to Platinum.
"I don't have time to deal with you,"
Platinum said before pointing an energy ball technique at the spear.
The spear measured the energy that was within the technique. 32 gigajoules of energy. Releasing something like that in the building may cause some structural damage.
The spear said to Platinum,
"Just tell me where Brooke is."
Platinum said before their energy ball technique was vaporized.
Platinum looked at their hands. Brooke then appeared.
"Platinum?
I figured it was you. Is there a reason you are in my area?"
Brooke asked Platinum.
"I have a request," Platinum said, looking towards Brooke. "Can you guide me inside the Light Shard and recreate my family and make it so that I meet them again?"
Platinum asked Brooke.
"No, why would I do that?"
"Going into the Light Shard should be for the purpose of obtaining a Godhead. Sounds like you want to go in for pleasure or some other unknown reason."
Brooke responded to Platinum. "Please, it's for me to be with them again, not even for pleasure.
I just miss them so much."
"You understand.
I remember when you returned from your first Delight Shard. You wanted to finish building the nation you created. You wanted to live a peaceful life with your husband. I had that peaceful life, and I would do anything to have it back.
Platinum pleaded with Brooke. Brooke looked at Platinum with uncaring eyes.
I do understand that feeling, but you need to get over it.
You entered the Light Shard for a reason. You returning for the purpose of experiencing your former life is outside of our purpose for entering.
I don't mind being your guide, but I will not recreate your life. Brooke said to Platinum. Platinum looked defeated.
Is there really nothing I can do?
Platinum said to Brooke. We both know what you would have to do to get your way, but you're way too weak for that to even be an option.
Brooke mocked Platinum.
I have to become the ruler of Mako or Spark. That is what you are suggesting.
Platinum said to Brooke. Yes, that is the obvious recourse, but you don't even have a godhead. Ventusor would simply toss you into that reality to defeat you. You have no defense against our reality techniques.
Brooke continued to mock Platinum. Platinum stood up.
Then I know what I have to do. I must do everything I can to see my family.
Platinum said aloud.
Do what you want, but you are wearing out your welcome, so leave my area before I attack you. Brooke said to Platinum before vanishing. I should have expected that.
I've always known that Brooke despised weaker people. I just didn't imagine that she would surpass me so soon.
Platinum thought.
Platinum then figured that judging by personalities, no one currently with a godhead would listen to their request. My best bet would be to have Mwiku agree to my request. Then they can go and earn a godhead. Then I can be placed in a world with my family.
Platinum came up with this plan and decided to transport to Mwiku. Mwiku is in the area named Oi, working on their energy techniques. Platinum then appeared. Mwiku stopped training.
Ah, it's Platinum.
Is this a mission from Master Axel?
Mwiku asked Platinum.
No, actually. Say, Mwiku, if I were to request something from you personally, would you agree?
Platinum asked Mwiku.
I think that depends on what the request is.
Though I'm sure you know many more people who are more capable than me.
Hence my training.
Mwiku responded.
You are close to obtaining a godhead. I would say you are possibly 2 to 3 more lives from doing so. You are much closer to it than myself.
Platinum flattered Mwiku.
I guess I am, actually.
That's a neat little fact.
Mwiku responded, surprised that they are outpacing Platinum in any field.
Can you return to Spark or ask one of the others capable of using reality techniques to send you that reality so that you could obtain your godhead?
Platinum asked Mwiku.
I'm not sure I am mentally ready for that. Every time I come back, I have to reground myself, and with each subsequent lifetime, it gets rougher. Mwiku informed Platinum. Why do you want me to achieve a godhead?
I wouldn't even be capable of performing reality techniques even afterward. It's so you could be my guide when I return to the Light Shard.
I would like for you to recreate my family and allow me to spend my life with them.
Platinum said to Mwiku.
But isn't the point of going into the Light Shard to obtain a godhead?
I don't see how doing that would help you at all.
Mwiku was confused by Platinum's request.
Come on, Mwiku. You understand what it is like to live a fulfilling life, only to return to a reality where none of that happened with people who are fully capable of bringing you back.
You are my only hope of seeing my wife and children again. Platinum pleaded to Mwiku. Mwiku was hesitant but could not bear seeing Platinum in a pitiful state. Fine, I will do it.
But on one condition. Mwiku responded to Platinum. What is it?
Platinum asked. I would like 4 Bucky shards and an accelerator device.
Mwiku said to Platinum.
That's not too difficult. Though what use do you have for Bucky shards? Ventusor automatically refills your spent shards.
Platinum said to Mwiku.
There will be a point in time where Ventusor will no longer be the leader of Mako, considering they have already been a leader for more than 4 complete cycles. I'll need to have a bit of high-capacity shards and reserves for the next leader.
Mwiku explained.
That's understandable. Fine, we have an agreement.
Platinum nodded.
Then I will go and find Ventusor or Aquar and request to be sent back to that reality.
I should accomplish that task in a cycle if I put myself through that, though I wouldn't know about this agreement.
Muiku said to Platinum, It is fine, I will remind you once you find me.
Platinum thanked Muiku.
Muiku went off to find a place to call for Ventusor. Ventusor's presence was everywhere on the planet, as was Aquar. Muiku wanted to make sure they found a comfortable spot for each time they returned from the Light Shard. Muiku flew to Z, to the temporary stay areas run by Susan. Muiku sat in a room and then requested for Ventusor. Ventusor appeared in the room with Aquar.
Now, what do you want?
Aren't you supposed to be training? What is your energy capacity at?
Aquar said to Muiku tactlessly.
Muiku tried to quickly conceal that information, but Aquar already scanned it. 12 exajoules.
Are you even trying?
Aquar mocked.
You didn't have to embarrass me.
Muiku said to Aquar, Guess what, I am currently at 700 yottajoules, which means I could destroy you 20 million times over.
Aquar said to Muiku,
But that's with Ventusor's energy, right?
Muiku smirked.
Nope, that's what I can store on my own.
Using Ventusor's, I am easily in the dozens of runajoules.
Aquar laughed. Heck, if I push it, I might even be in the quetajoule territory.
That's enough, Aquar.
Muiku actually wants to enjoy life, so it's understandable that they are not as far along as you are.
Ventus said to Aquar,
You're right, plus I'm basically an Olamako, so it's practically unfair to compare myself to Muiku.
Aquar added,
So you desire to go back to that reality to earn your godhead?
Ventusor asked Muiku.
Yes, that is correct.
Muiku confirmed.
Why so suddenly?
Your last adventure practically left you in shambles. Are you ready to undergo that again? Ventusor asked Muiku.
Muiku paused a bit. I eventually will have to earn it if I want to compete for leadership. So yes, I am ready.
Muiku stated.
Ventusor then set up to perform the reality technique Spatial Zone Alpha, which sends everything within a certain radius into the other reality, where it then becomes part of their universe's creation and reformed.
Wait, I want to send Muiku there.
Aquar requested a Ventusor.
Sure, but make sure you only put enough energy to create a sphere large enough to encapsulate Muiku.
Ventus said to Aquar,
Yes, I know.
Aquar remarked. She then opened up a sphere, and Muiku instantly vanished along with bits of the floor.
Oops, I guess it was just a tiny bit too large.
Aquar said, looking at the gap in the flooring.
Repair it.
Ventusor commanded Aquar.
Aquar then recreated the floor.
Good as new.
Aquar said. They both then vanished, then returned to the room within seconds.
Aquar then pulled Muiku out of that reality.
Come on, you failed to achieve a godhead again.
Aquar said to Muiku.
A what? Wait, where am I?
Muiku said as they sat on the floor in the room.
Ventusor and Aquar watched as Muiku was once again confused after returning from the Light Shard.
Where's Poelin and Ru? We were just sailing.
Did they fall into the water?
Muiku asked Aquar and Ventusor.
Muiku, we've been over this many times now. You are Ren now. You are returning from attempting to receive a godhead. Your life as Hasha is over.
Ventusor explained to Muiku.
Muiku?
Oh yeah, that is my name.
That's a lot to take in.
Muiku remarked, still feeling stunned about what happened.
Are you ready for another go?
Aquar asked Muiku.
No, I'm going to need some time. Muiku paused for a bit.
So none of that was real?
Muiku asked. It's amazing how it seems like they forget everything once they come back.
Aquar said to Ventusor.
It was real, but it was in a separate reality, so it doesn't mean anything to you now.
All that you gain from it is progress towards your godhead. But once you are able to remain yourself, when you enter another reality, then you would have succeeded.
Ventusor explained. Are Paolin and Ru okay? Muiku asked Ventusor.
That doesn't matter. Aquar scolded Muiku. They are fine.
Well, maybe not now, they are gone since hundreds of years have already passed for them.
Ventusor explained. Oh, I guess I actually am a different kind of being to them then.
Muiku said somberly. Go to Chewie and relax a bit.
You've been through a lot. Ventusor said to Muiku. I think I will.
Muiku said before sitting down. Ventusor and Aquar both vanished. Muiku sat thinking about the life they just had. Muiku really wanted to go back and accomplish the goal of circumnavigating the world.
But understood that by now, society on that planet likely is unknown. I wonder if we could bring people out of that reality into our own. Muiku thought.
I should go to Chewie and relax. Muiku then left the building and flew towards Chewie. Ventusor and Aquar were out in the far reaches of the star system. Ventusor wanted Aquar to practice her energy release. Ventusor pointed at a nearby star and swallowed it up, making it disappear near instantly. Ventusor then recreated several hundred Earth-sized worlds for Aquar to practice destroying.
So Ventusor, I've been thinking.
Aquar started the sentence off.
Well, that's dangerous. Ventusor Joe jokes. Aquar then smiled. So I've been thinking about that other reality.
Omni most likely is a 12th world, if not greater, being of our reality. What reality do you think they are from?
Aquar asked.
I wouldn't even be able to speculate on that.
But I had thought about that as well.
Omni does have an unlimited amount of power and knew exactly what they wanted since the beginning. I always thought that they were just talented, but now that we are all becoming godheads, it's most likely they were always one.
Ventusor responded to Aquar.
Aquar destroyed a world but left a bit of debris behind.
Make sure to destroy it completely. We don't want asteroids flying everywhere.
Ventus said to Aquar. What was that next level after Godhead? Aquar asked Ventusor. Something about a reality bond.
Omned Zeta needed the strength or 100,000 Godheads to begin unraveling it.
And apparently it allows existence in all realities or something. I'm not sure what their explanation of it was.
Ventusor answered Aquar.
Aquar destroyed several worlds at once with her World Eater technique, which had an output of 15 quetajoules. Ventusor observed Aquar's proficiency. Looks like you are shaping up to at least have the energy control to be a leader of Mako. Ventusor remarked to Aquar. To join the ranks of the other Olamakos.
Aquar smirked.
You're not an Olamako. Ventusor reminded Aquar.
I should be, though. I don't think it's fair how I mostly formed with your energy, but I can't consider myself an Olamako.
Aquar complained.
Fine. Both your parents wouldn't be that keen on you claiming my family name over theirs.
Ventus said to Aquar.
I almost couldn't care less. I have a godhead and transcended beyond human.
My attachment to those human-like qualities are practically gone. Aquar mentioned.
And yet you want my family name. Ventusor laughed. That's different. The Olamako name means more than just a family. It is a title of power and capability.
If you are an Olamako, you are practically guaranteed greatness. Aquar proclaimed.
I do have a cousin. Their name is Muxerio.
They literally fought to reconcile being an Olamako and being themselves.
Ventusor mentioned.
Then me and Muxerio can switch places. Aquar hinted to Ventusor. I see there is no way to convince you otherwise.
You can use the Olamako name. I'm sure no one in my family would mind, especially since you can prove your capability and mindset. Not that you have to have those qualities to be included.
Ventus said to Aquar.
Finally, this is way better than being the leader of Mako.
Aquar said to herself. They mean the same thing anyways, just from a language analysis point of view.
Ventusor looked at Aquar as if just being an Olamako wasn't something to consider an accomplishment.
Back on the planet, Muiku sat in Chewie Park and observed the Southern Ocean. Muiku thought about their most recent life. Platinum then appeared in front of Muiku. So, did you accomplish a godhead?
Platinum asked Muiku. No, I haven't yet.
Muiku continued to sit. Ah, then why aren't you trying again? You said that you were going to keep going in so that you could return me to my family.
Platinum said to Muiku.
Muiku then looked at Platinum.
Oh yeah, I did make that agreement.
I'm sorry, that felt like so long ago.
My head is scrambled. Muiku said to Platinum.
So, are you going to go back in?
Platinum asked to Muiku.
Yeah, I'll go back in eventually. Just give me some time to look out at the ocean.
Muiku said to Platinum.
Platinum stood next to Miku and also looked out at the ocean. I was an explorer in my last lifetime.
I sailed across the world with my screw.
We called ourselves the Roughnecks because the ocean always left dry salt on our necks.
Muiku told Platinum. Platinum looked at Muiku.
We went out to go sailing around the planet. We were going to be the first ones to do it. The Daughters of Isabel requested us personally to do it. We were so honored.
But I guess we all died before ever accomplishing that goal. Ventusar told me that they would already all be dead by the very nature of how time worked over there. Muiku said to Platinum.
That's quite the story.
Platinum remarked.
You think we could bring people from there to here?
Muiku asked Platinum. I'm sure we could bring them to Earth, but not to Mako.
They would die from the radiation of the land.
Platinum said to Muiku. But they could probably live in the Suminiatini Federation. That place has so much unused land that no one would notice.
Muiku's eyes lit up.
I think it'll probably be better for when you get a godhead to just recreate them and hang out with them in their world. The only reason we can go in and out of those realities is because we are beings that can reform from fields. But normal life isn't like that. Platinum responded to Muiku. Yeah, that is true.
Muiku was disappointed. Platinum and Muiku continued to look out at the ocean.
This is going to be rough.
But I feel that I am about to achieve a godhead. So I might as well go back in.
Muiku said to Platinum.
Great, and remember our deal once you return with it.
Platinum reminded Muiku.
Of course. I got it.
Muiku said.
Muiku takes a position and jumps high into the air. Muiku then flew back to Psi to prepare for another lifetime. Muiku once again sat in the room and requested for Ventusar. Ventusar appeared in front of Muiku. Again? I didn't expect you to go back to back on lifetimes. Akwar said to Muiku. No reason to stall it out, right? My friends back in my previous life would want me to continue onward.
Muiku responded back to Akwar. So you are still stuck on your feelings towards your prior friends. Just so you know, you'll just be stacking your new feelings onto those feelings. It'll be interesting to see your breakdown.
That is, if you don't achieve a godhead. Akwar informed Muiku.
Muiku paused a bit and figured that they should still go with it.
Okay, don't say that I didn't warn you. Akwar responded as she extended her arm and sent Muiku back into that reality.
A few instants passed, and Muiku was again returned to their original reality.
Where could they be? We got lost. Am I really out? Where am I? Muiku said, feeling confused and paranoid. You are back in Mako.
Akwar told Muiku.
Muiku looked around, feeling awed by the environment. Are we still underground? Muiku asked.
No, Muiku, you are back on Mako.
This is where you were before you became Trey. Your life as Trey was your attempt at achieving a godhead. Ventusar explained to Muiku. Muiku looked up at Ventusar. Wait, I remember you.
You are my friend Ventusar, the leader of this nation? Muiku said to Ventusar.
You are correct.
Ventusar stated.
Muiku looked down at their hands.
These appendages are different from the ones I had in the underground.
Am I human? Muiku asked. You are Ren now. So a human, but not the same kind of human. Akwar quickly said to Muiku. Muiku then slowly started to gain their reasoning back. Yeah, I am Ren now. I'm no longer lost in the underground. That life is over. Muiku tried to ground to this reality.
Wait, that means I didn't achieve a godhead.
That's right. You failed again. Akwar said to Muiku to quickly break the news.
Dang, that means I am going to have to go through that again. Muiku thought.
Do you need any time?
Ventusar asked Muiku. This life, I didn't have so many attachments. so I'm still being more heavily weighed down by my life as a sailor. Mwiku said to Ventusir,
It doesn't seem like you are accomplishing enough to get your trial of success resolved. I'm going to try something.
Ventusir said to Mwiku, I am open to anything. The faster I can be done with dealing with all these lives, the better. Mwiku said to Ventusir.
Ventusir then transported Mwiku to SARU. Akwar appeared in Brook's headquarters. Ventusir and Mwiku then showed up immediately after. Brook too appeared.
Ventusir,
it's always good for you to show up.
Brook exclaimed. Likewise, we really ought to train together soon. Ventusir said to Brook, I would love that. If only these Yurizu people weren't so dumb, I wouldn't have to babysit them constantly.
Brook complained to Ventusir. Comes with this territory. It's a different people after all.
You're doing a good job as it is. SARU jumped forward several dozen complete cycles under your leadership.
Ventusir praised Brook.
Well, they are simply my practice for when I become the leader of Mako.
Brook then looked at Ventusir.
That's a hint, by the way.
I'm still weighing my options. Ventusir then laughed. But you are definitely high on the list. And I am also high on the list. Akwar remarked. Now, why would you be high on the list? You haven't even left Ventusir's side since you started gaining power. You're bound to at least be at 1,000 yodajoules of solo energy capacity.
Brook taunted Akwar. I'm close enough.
Akwar responded. Akwar is making good progress. She is currently at a higher capability than you were at this age.
Ventusir said to Brook. Yeah, but the big difference is I didn't have near limitless energy to train with. I had to use shards.
If I was given the same opportunity, I would likely be at Axel levels of capability.
Brook responded to Ventusir.
Brook then looked disgusted at Mwiku. Why are you here?
Brook asked Mwiku. Mwiku still seemed a bit dazed, but they attempted to answer Brook. I'm not sure I was brought here by Ventusir. Mwiku responded.
Brook, can you be Mwiku's guide in their next life?
Make their life horrendous and force an opportunity to step up and grow there. Mwiku is very close to obtaining a godhead, but is missing that critical element.
And I figure this would be good practice for you to witness what it is like to see someone achieve a godhead.
Ventusir said to Brook.
You must have been too kind as the guide.
Brook laughed. Don't worry, I will push Mwiku to the point that if they do not achieve a godhead, they will be destroyed mentally. Brook stated. Mwiku looked worried after hearing Brook say this.
I am going to break everything about that version of you in there.
You are going to constantly wish you were dead, but I will keep you alive.
Brook said to Mwiku.
Wait, I don't think I want to go through this. Mwiku said, but Brook already formed a reality technique and sent Mwiku in.
See you soon.
Brook said before also joining.
Akwar and Ventusir returned to their training. Brook sent Mwiku into a world that was on the brink of an apocalypse.
A nuclear warhead exploded on their moon, but the impact was much larger than calculated, and the debris from the impact wrapped around their world. This caused seasonal showers of brimstone and hellfire. These showers also caused large electrical disturbances, which knocked out any budding power grid every few months.
The showers sometimes became so bad that they counted the planet in dust, sending it into a deep winter or a scorching summer. Brook gave Mwiku a hidden talent where they would be able to, for 5 seconds, absorb all impact and send it back in a kinetic burst.
If Mwiku can't accomplish something great after receiving something extra at birth, then there is really no hope.
Brook thought. Brook caused time and time again for Mwiku's livelihood to be destroyed once Mwiku started to become comfortable. Then, when she felt it was time for Mwiku to prove themselves, she made thousands of refugees run towards Mwiku's camp and had to prevent them from being slaughtered by slave traders. Mwiku fought and fought to protect the refugees, utilizing their abilities that Brook gave to them.
Then, when Mwiku was surrounded and cornered in their base while protecting the last room for the refugees, Mwiku suddenly woke up.
Mwiku looked out at the slave traders who were surrounding the final room. Time seemed to slow nearly to a standstill. Wiku looked down at the body they had. I am Wiku, and this was my godhead trial.
Muiku pointed their hand out at the slavers and blasted them apart with an elemental technique. So this is what it feels like to be conscious.
I feel like I am in total control. Muiku then stood completely up. Then Muiku crushed the ground below the slavers, causing them to fall into the mantle below. Muiku looked back at the refugees.
I don't really care about what happens after this, but I might as well finish this life off strong.
Muiku said as they wrapped the refugees in a near unbreakable room. Muiku then flew into the air and rained stones down onto the slavers. I have ultimate power here. None of you are escaping alive.
Muiku called out.
Muiku massacred the invading force, leaving no one behind. Muiku then descended and opened the unbreakable room.
Thank you so much, Lord Gustra. The refugees said to Muiku.
Sure, it was no problem. But this will be the final time you all see me. So I will leave you with this. Muiku said to the refugees before creating seeds and pots for them. Plant these and they will grow even in ice and fire. Live in these and to close them, not even a nuclear weapon will get through.
Just squeeze them down and carry them in a backpack.
I am hoping you all can rebuild society with these. Muiku said to them. But where are you going, Lord? A refugee asked.
Muiku smirked.
I'm going home. Muiku said before vanishing. Muiku looked out at the ocean on the far side of the planet where no one resided. Brook then appeared. Looks like you achieved a godhead.
Brook said to Muiku.
I did. Muiku then looked at Brook.
And by the way, that was a bit much. You didn't have to destroy the entire planet just to get me to receive a godhead.
Muiku said to Brook. It worked, right?
And besides, once we exit, the reality will be crushed and reformed several times over before even a cycle passes.
If you care so much, you could rebuild them yourself. Brook said to Muiku.
No, there's no need. They can live the way they want when everything is reformed.
Muiku stated.
Brook then used a reality technique.
Since you don't know this technique, I really could have just abandoned you in here.
Brook said to Muiku.
I don't think I would have minded that. Eventually, I would have figured it out.
Muiku responded.
Not in a billion years.
Brook smirked. They both then entered the portal back to their home reality.
Ventusar looked at Muiku. Congratulations, Muiku. You have achieved a godhead.
Ventusar said to Muiku.
Is it that obvious? Muiku asked.
Well, you didn't come out in confusion, so yeah, it's easy to see.
Aquar remarked.
Thank you, Brook, for doing that. Ventusar said to Brook.
It was my pleasure. I got to make Muiku go through something painful, which weak people ought to go through now and then.
Brook responded.
Well, at least in terms of godheads, me and you are equal.
Muiku said to Brook. Now don't act like we are on the same level.
I got you your godhead, so I think you ought to give me a bit of gratitude.
Brook said to Muiku. Muiku lowered their head in gratitude to Brook. Thank you for your help. As if that matters.
Brook responded.
I think I am ready to go back in and try to go for another one.
Muiku said to Ventusar.
Before you do that, I would like you to act as a guide for anyone else who would like to achieve a godhead. After you have a dozen runs as a guide, then we can see about you getting a second godhead.
Ventusar said to Muiku.
I have no problem with that.
Muiku responded.
Oh, I need to meet with Platinum.
Muiku thought.
I have to go now. Thank you all for helping me achieve this feat. Muiku stated before exiting Brook's Hall. Muiku then flew off towards Chewy. Muiku met up with Platinum. So how did that attempt go?
Platinum asked Muiku.
Muiku looked at Platinum. I was successful. Muiku began to say, but then Platinum interrupted.
Congratulations.
So that means you can be my guide? Platinum asked.
That's the thing.
When I achieved my godhead, all the lives that I went through when in that reality were put into their correct perspectives. I wasn't those people that I was in that reality.
I am a person who is trying to achieve a godhead, and everyone that I met along that journey are people who are just trying to live.
Us and them are different beings. I can't in good faith force them to be in a relationship with us. I think it is best if I form a reality that is conducive to your mission of achieving a godhead.
Muiku explained to Platinum.
Platinum was devastated. But we had a deal.
You achieved a godhead to act as a guide so that I could be with my family again.
Platinum scolded Muiku. I understand that, but it's different now. I think you should really just focus on getting a godhead.
Muiku said to Platinum.
I have no interest in talking with you if you aren't going to hold on to your side of the deal. Platinum said to Muiku, feeling upset.
It's hard to explain, but I can't just do that. It doesn't feel normal.
Muiku said to Platinum. There is no normal Muiku.
Platinum said, stepping up to Muiku.
This process hasn't even been around for a complete cycle yet.
It's still very new. What you owners of a godhead have the opportunity to do is create a normal.
Platinum urged Muiku.
Would you force a Gato erect to be in a relationship with a Ren Shell?
Muiku asked Platinum.
That's not relevant. I know what you are trying to do.
Platinum responded to Muiku.
The Ren Shell would be completely innocent in that comparison, but you would be the one that forced it.
It's not a good look. Muiku finished the analogy. Is that all? Not a good look? Are you really going to put that above returning me to the family that I love?
The family I just spent a lifetime with.
Platinum asked Muiku.
Muiku was unsure how to respond. I don't know a better way to describe it.
I'm just not comfortable with it.
I could place you into a peaceful world, and maybe you can have a new family. Muiku suggested to Platinum. You can't just replace a family and think it'll be the same. That's not how things work. Platinum scolded Muiku. I think I know more than you when it comes to that field. I lived several more lives than you have and had multiple families. I'm not saying that to replace them. I am suggesting that you could share your caring nature to the new families.
Muiku said to Platinum,
if you aren't going to assist me in this, then I will come up with another solution.
Platinum said to Muiku before placing a circle on the ground and vanishing. Sheesh, Platinum will never achieve a godhead with that mentality.
Muiku thought.
Muiku then continued on with their day, choosing to celebrate their own achievement. Platinum returned to Spark and into the lab. Alpha was compiling data after several others attempted to achieve a godhead. Back so soon, Platinum? Alpha asked. I'm just here to study the construction of this device.
Platinum remarked.
It's quite simple for the most part. The only complexity is from the light shard itself.
The crystal lattice that was used to form is immensely dense and precisely placed.
I observed the reality techniques that give the same results and would much rather learn those.
Alpha said to Platinum.
How does the technique look?
Platinum asked Alpha.
Alpha opened her projection and showed Platinum. To complete this technique requires a large reserve of energy. It feels almost wasteful. Platinum remarked seeing the technique requiring orders of ronajoules for a portal the size of a few meters lasting microseconds.
Axel did remark that users of the technique simply restore their energy by extracting the extra energy from that reality.
Alpha informed Platinum. Platinum nodded, observing the technique.
So it's this technique or creating a light shard?
Platinum said lightly.
Well, without a godhead, this technique is unstable and would most likely just pull you into a reality where you aren't conscious of yourself.
And we both know that is not something we want to occur.
Alpha jokes.
I think I know someone who could control an unstable technique.
Platinum thought.
Okay, I think I am done with what I came to do.
Platinum said to Alpha.
Then I will see you later. Alpha then resumed her work. Platinum exited the lab, then created a circle to return to Mako. Platinum located an individual who became renowned during the transition of leadership period for their expertise in shard simulation. Gillum, I need to talk to you.
Platinum said, walking into another lab.
Gillum came out from behind large machines. Oh, it's you. Gillum said, annoyed at seeing Platinum.
I want you to build something for me.
Platinum said to Gillum.
Why would I do that?
You and Diamanda took my place on Spark.
Not in your wildest dreams. Would I ever help you?
Gillum said to Platinum with anger in their voice.
Look, if you still want to become a scientist at Spark, then I can put in a good word for you, and you can join our team.
How does that sound? Platinum suggested. Gillum was suspicious.
That does sound good, but there has to be a catch.
Why would a scientist of Spark come to me? Platinum asked.
I remember your work when you attempted to fuse Yiro with the Shadow Shard. Platinum began saying to Gillum,
Don't bring that up.
That was a dark time in my life.
Gillum remarked.
But nonetheless, genius. So I am coming to you to see if you could do something similar, except for the Light Shard.
Platinum responded.
The Light Shard? I don't know much about that, except apparently granting a thing called a Godhead. Gillum said unsure as to what Platinum was getting at.
Platinum opened up their projection and showed Gillum. Are you able to build a machine that can replicate this technique? Gillum looked at the technique in question. Gillum was stunned at the amount of power it would take. Where on earth am I going to get that kind of energy?
Gillum asked Platinum.
Just take it from the planet when Ventusor refills it. Platinum suggested.
Oh no, I already got in trouble for doing that once.
I'm not going to get in trouble again.
Do you understand the overwhelming might that the Olomakos have?
Gillum rejected Platinum's request. Think of it, after completing the machine, you would be at Spark as a member scientist. You would be regarded as a true genius. Platinum painted a picture for Gillum. Gillum was torn. Being a scientist of Spark was an ambition of theirs. But this seemed like something that would get them in more trouble, and over the last few complete cycles, Mako has obtained more methods of punishment. I have one condition. Gillum responded.
Name it. Platinum quickly responded.
If we get in trouble, you will take all the blame for this.
I am completely innocent and was forced to do this because of your authority. Gillum laid out for Platinum.
That still won't make you immune to punishment, but I will do the best I can to take as much of the punishment as I could.
Platinum agreed.
Then I will get started on building.
If you could obtain many of the raw materials I need, that would be great, so that I can dedicate all my time to the building. Gillum asked Platinum.
The more efficient you could be, the better it would be for me.
Platinum said to Gillum.
Gillum then wrote up a list of materials. Platinum looked over the list to see if it made sense.
Very well.
I will go out and gather this. Then I would like to see your blueprint for the machine.
Platinum said to Gillum.
Don't trust me.
Gillum smirked.
Just making sure you keep your part of the deal.
Platinum said.
Platinum then created a circle and transported to get the materials. Platinum transported to the mountains of Capicalo to remove rare earth metals. Platinum was near the peak of the mountains, where hardly any inhabitants resided. There were sparse populations of Renji on those ridges, but they would only be able to see Platinum as a slight disturbance of the wind and not as an actual being. Platinum continued to transport back and forth to Gillum's lab with the materials.
This is way faster than sending out the old Team Shadow members and much cheaper than having to purchase them in the shops. Gillum thought, watching Platinum move.
I wonder what Platinum is trying to do with this machine. Maybe they are attempting to have their own personal Godhead generator. The master of the region appeared having noticed rapid entrances and exits of persons in their area. The master of this region was Tesh Komat. What is going on here?
Tesh asked Gillum.
Just building a new device requires a lot of material.
Gillum responded.
Tesh watched as Platinum returned with more objects. Tesh stopped Platinum. Where are you pulling these resources from? Why aren't you soliciting the markets?
Tesh asked Platinum.
I really don't have time for this. Platinum responded. Platinum then placed on another circle. Tesh deactivated it with an energy disruption technique. Platinum looked at Tesh with a bit of anger.
Do you not know who I am a subordinate of? Platinum asked Tesh.
I am a scientist of Spark, my direct, and only superior is Master Axel. Tesh scoffed at Platinum's attempt at intimidation. I am the master of this region, which means that here I am the ultimate word, outranked only by Master Ventusir.
So while you are here on Earth, I outrank you. So you remain here when I am speaking with you. Tesh commanded Platinum.
Do you not understand who Master Axel is?
Platinum asked Tesh. Of course, Master Axel is the leader of Mako, who preceded both their older brother, Master Omni, their younger brother, and current ruler of Mako, Master Ventusir.
Master Axel developed the storage beacons and terraformed Spark.
So again I say, despite knowing this, that I outrank you.
Tesh reiterated to Platinum. Platinum stepped up to Tesh. If I desired, I could strip you of your rank right now, and it wouldn't even be considered the highlight of my day. Platinum taunted.
With an ego so fragile, I'm surprised that you work under Master Axel.
Things must be getting soft there.
But fine, I don't mind showing you the difference between a master and some scientist.
Tesh responded to Platinum's taunt.
Then I challenge you. Platinum said to Tesh.
And Gillum is the witness.
What kind of challenge is this going to be?
Tesh asked.
We both build machines that will fight for us, and the last one standing between the two machines is the winner. Platinum said to Tesh.
Sounds a bit in your favor, but I'll accept it.
Tesh responded.
Gillum then stepped forward. A challenge issued by Platinum against the master of the region Tesh Komat for the position of master shall commence on my say. The challenge will be a death match between machines built by the competitors, and the last of these machines to remain after the match will be declared the winner, and thus the creator will own the title of master.
Gillum said, explaining the challenge.
Are you fine with those conditions? Platinum asked.
Sure.
Tesh responded.
Let the challenge commence.
Gillum called out.
Platinum immediately began to form a machine that had appendages built for combat and could use simple elemental techniques.
The machine was built with agility, meant to quickly cut off the power supply of any machine Tesh built.
Tesh was turned around, messing around with some disconnected parts. Gillum looked at the both of them, then called for the machines to battle. Platinum sent out an agile killing bot that was able to quickly detect its surroundings and use its stored power to launch elemental projectiles at Mach 3 speed. Tesh placed down a machine that simply lit up. It was practically a metal block with a light on top. It could not move and had no ability to attack. That is a laughable attempt.
Platinum said to Tesh.
We will see.
Tesh responded.
Gillum then signals for the machines to fight. Tesh shot Platinum's machine with a directed heated beam technique, obliterating it instantly.
There was nothing that remained. Tesh's machine still blinked on and off.
Gillum was stunned and looked at both competitors. Seeing that only Tesh's machine remained, Gillum named Tesh the winner.
What on earth was that?
That wasn't fair. Platinum argued with Tesh.
There was nothing in the challenge that forbade it.
The challenge was that they would fight, and the last one standing was the winner. There were no stipulations for outside help or any form of interference.
So next time, craft your challenge a bit better, Platinum of Spark. Tesh mocked.
It's common decency to assume that would be the case.
Platinum argued.
Not in my area, it is not.
Tesh responded. And on that note, you're to acquire your materials for your device from the market. No more outsourcing for your materials.
Also, Gillum, you will need to show me the blueprints for what you're building, simply based on your previous track record. Tesh said to Gillum.
Of course, Master Tesh.
Gillum responded. Tesh then vanished from the area, leaving Gillum and Tesh together.
That is annoying. I can guarantee the market isn't going to have enough material for this machine. This is going to take cycles to finish. Platinum complained. We are still allowed to continue with the construction, so that is a win.
Gillum looked for a bright side. Just get back to work. I am going to purchase more items. Platinum said, flying into the air towards the markets.